Thank you, Paula. So if anybody has a question for Paula, please use the raise your hand feature. And if you don't see the raise your hand feature, you may have to click on the bottom of the screen where it says participants or where you see the icon participants. And then the raise your hand feature then may show up. So Noelle, I see your hand and I'm going to unmute you now.
Thank you. I had a question on the riparian versus operational setbacks. I was asked by one of our members about whether or not there's flexibility in choosing a compliance path. So if you're in an operational setback area, so outside of a priority area, but you would rather have the riparian setback requirements because there's more flexibility than there is under the operational setback rules, is it possible for someone to do the more comprehensive riparian setback rules, even though they're outside of a priority way, in lieu of doing the compliant or the other operational setback?
Yes, absolutely. The riparian setback is really a more stringent requirement than the sediment and erosion control. So if they have a riparian setback, they would meet the operational setback requirement and actually be exceeding it.
Thank you, Noelle. And then Anne Murr. I'm going to unmute you now.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm a little confused about setback because I'm on a stream where the channel is presently flowing to the west. And it's possible we'll go to 2050 without a big water event, a big rain event. But if our river channel ever flows as it sometimes does when there's 20 or 30 inches of rain, the channel will move to the east. It always does when there's heavy rain flow. And I would immediately lose my setback because the channel might move 50 feet east. So how do you accommodate that unusual rain event without it being a taking of the property that you're currently farming?
Hi, Anne. I think this would be an instance where you might want to take a look at the exemptions section in the order, and that would be something we would have to consider on a case-by-case basis.
All right.
Normally, what we see with streams is that they do change course, and it can affect the banks, but it usually, the system is trying to seek equilibrium and it will balance out over time. So I would say it's just going to be an issue of bringing that to our attention.
All right. Well, I'm not a young lady, so I've seen this happen several times in my lifetime. I've always lived where I could see a tributary to the Salinas River, so I'm quite familiar with the changes, but thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you, Anne. Any other questions for Paula? I see a hand from Aaron McCarthy, and Aaron, I'm going to unmute you now. You should be ready to talk, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Paula, I was just wondering if you could go quickly go back to the slide on the cooperative alternative and describe it one more time.
Sorry, that's going to take a bit.
I thought you had said something about an operational setback and helped you to avoid the potential conflict with having a riparian area and food safety. And I just wanted to understand that better.
Right. So the operational setback has no vegetation requirements. So a grower can meet that requirement by using other forms of sediment and erosion control, because that's the primary purpose of the operational setback. So with the cooperative approach, they don't have to have a riparian setback, which is where they might run into food safety conflicts.
I see. And then just one comment on if you are establishing a riparian buffer area. I work at the RCD of Santa Cruz County, and that's the type of work that we frequently do. And you mentioned weeding and irrigation, and I just don't want that to be understated. The maintenance can be pretty intensive during that establishment period, and the levels of success can be variable.
So agreed.
There can be quite a bit of nurturing that effort to be successful.
Exactly. And that's why we did the interim and final compliance deadlines, so that there's a significant amount of time for the establishment and to do adaptive management. And then the final compliance deadline comes 3 years after. And obviously, again, just even with what we were talking about with Anne, is as long as we know that growers are making a good faith effort, if something happens that precludes them from meeting that interim compliance deadline, they have time to respond to that, and we have time to work with them.
Thank you.
And thank you, Erin. Any last questions for Paula? Okay, seeing none, then we're going to move on.